Praise the Lord. Go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to continue ministering on the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to put you in remembrance of a few things. Smith Wigglesworth, back in 1939, while he was praying for Lester Summerall, had vision of four waves of revival. Four waves. And I'm going to read just that portion to you again. By the way, we have this available at all three websites. If you want to download it and print it yourself. But as Smith Wigglesworth was holding and praying for Lester Summerall, he said, I see a healing revival coming right after World War II. It will be so easy to get people healed. I see it. I see it. I won't be here for it, but you will be. And there was a healing revival right after the war. There was also a Gary right after the war. My mom and dad got married, and they were only married 3 months, and then Dad was shipped overseas to Germany, and they didn't see each other for 3.5 years, but then I was born in 1947 after the war, after he come back. And, you know, I still remember, even though we always went to when I was about six, seven years old, I remember we always went to a denominational church, and I thank God for that. My parents, you know, they, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we were in church. And, but to a six-year-old or seven-year-old, I just got to tell you, it seemed extremely boring to me. You know, I just couldn't wait till that was over and get home and play with anything. But what was interesting, on Sundays, when we get home from church, Mom and Dad, we'd have lunch, and then they'd usually go outside and be doing something or other. But I had discovered, we had an old black and white TV, and I had discovered that about, I don't know, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, sometime in the afternoon, I could sneak in there and turn it on while they were outside, and I could watch Oral Roberts' empty wheelchairs. Do you remember that? He'd had those black and white services on TV, and he was the first one. You know, most of the preachers at that time were saying how television was a tool of the devil, and it sure, certainly has been used that way a lot. But he was saying, no, all things were created by him and for him. And he says, I'm going to give America a front row seat to miracles. So thank God, you know, I mean, if the church had captured the media like we should have, we'd be evangelizing the world a lot better than we are, you know. But even then, I would watch that and I'd go, see how, little boy wasn't bored watching that. I'd watch that whole program, man. Wonder if the next one's going to get out of the wheelchair. They did. Fantastic. Had no idea what God had in store for me later down the road, you know. But anyway, he says, I see that revival, and sure enough, we had that, you know, your Jack Coe, your Branham, your A.A. Allen, right after World War II. But then he continued to prophesy, and he said, I see another one. I see people of all different denominations being filled with the Holy Ghost. Wow. Boy, that's the charismatic renewal. You know, that's also been in my lifetime. All different denominations, it would break out. People would start getting filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, even in the Catholic Church and Episcopal Church. And amazing, you know. Well, that one sure came to pass. Can we say that the first two came to pass? Well, what about this third one? So he says, I see another move of God. I see auditoriums full of people coming with notebooks. And there will be a wave of teaching on faith and healing. Boy, I've been a part of that one, man. I was one of them to bring in my notebooks and my pens and my papers and my recorders and anything else, trying to capture everything. The Word of Faith movement, if you'll allow me. Wow, we've sure gone through that. So that's three. That's three for three that the man saw. Well, I think if he saw those three and they came to pass, if he saw this fourth one, I think this fourth one is going to come to pass. So he said, then he prophesied after that third wave, he started sobbing. I see the last day revival that is going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. it will be the greatest revival the world has ever seen. And I'm going to comment on that in a minute. I think I understand why. It'll be the greatest revival the world has ever seen. It's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. The ministry gifts will be flowing on this planet Earth. I see hospitals being emptied out, and they will bring the sick to the churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move. Hallelujah. We're on the cusp of that. I mean, we are on the cusp of that. We are, I think my right toe is already wet with it. I mean, we're in the river a little bit here, you know. And been thinking about, you know, when Smith says this, it's the greatest revival this world has ever seen. Well, there's been some pretty good revivals. Man, the Great Awakening in America, that was a good revival. How about the Welsh revival? You know, how about Azusa Street, for crying out loud? I read those books of the eyewitnesses that were there. And they said, oh, we used to enjoy the little children playing in the glory cloud. What? What? You said what? Oh, yeah, the glory of God would come in and the children would play in the cloud. Pretty good revival. But he says this one that we're going to be a part of, it's going to be the greatest revival the world has ever seen. I think a big reason why is going to be media. Because what I'm seeing is not just a revival. But does America need revival? I think it's the only hope now. I mean, we have to have revival. Politics isn't going to get it done. I don't care. You know, we got to have a real revival. I think this is the reason, one of the reasons this is going to be the greatest revival the world has ever seen. It's not just going to be a revival in what we would call the English-speaking world. This one is going to be a revival of Christians. It's going to be a revival of the English-speaking world. It's going to be a revival in the Muslim world, the Hindu world, the Buddhist world, and the atheist world. You show an old atheist something, you show him something, blind eyes open. Let him sit there and watch while a leg grows out. He already considers himself to be smart, too smart to believe the Bible. You know, I don't care that the Bible says he's a fool. I mean, I didn't say it. The Bible said it, you know. The guy that says there is no God, he's a fool, you know. But that guy that considers himself so intellectual, so smart, he sits there and watches. Somebody comes in without a leg, missing a leg. You sit him on the front row. Make sure he gets a good seat. You pray. And that leg just grows out right there. Even that old boy is going to say, I'm smart enough to believe there's a God that did that. There's a God that did that. That doesn't happen without something supernatural. Tell me about your Jesus. I believe we're going to have a revival like the world has not seen. I think it's going to be bigger than the book of Acts, to be honest with you. We've got a lot more people on the planet to harvest than was there in the book of Acts. I am excited about what's coming. Now it starts, what did he say? A wave of the gifts of the Spirit. And that's why we're starting here again and laying the foundations again, trying to go very carefully with these gifts of the Spirit and start getting you first and then eventually the church world accustomed to the fact these gifts are not just for the fivefold. And they're not just for church services. They are everywhere you go all the time because the Holy Ghost is with you everywhere you go and all the time. Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, we're going to read this again. I know we've done it several times, but this, I was writing one of my letters this yesterday, today, I don't know, recently. And I was writing the letter along the line of God using you in the gifts. And then I put in there, when you start teaching like this, somebody says, oh, they start, you know, they backpedal. Oh, well, Gary, not me. See, I know me. I can't do that. And when I hear that, I always go, good. You've got a great revelation from God. Thank God you've got it already. You're ahead of most of the church. You can't do it. Did you know Jesus said he couldn't either? He sure did. He said, it is the Father in me. He doeth the works. The Son of himself can do what? Nothing. You have finally caught up with Jesus. He said he couldn't do it. And now you say you can't do it. You're ready. Because the Father in you, he sure can. He does it by the power of his Spirit through the name of Jesus Christ. It's not you doing it. It's him doing it. Well, now, dear heart, if it's him doing it, just exactly what is it that's not possible? Well, what did he say to Sarah when she laughed? You're going to have a baby. Ah! I can almost hear it. Probably tried to muffle it. You're going to have a baby about this time next year. Oh, you're so funny, God. God, you're so funny. Tell me a joke like that. No, you're going to... Why are you laughing, Sarah? What? But it's past the time of the way of women with me. I've always been barren anyway. And God says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me ask you, is there? There is a couple of things he can't do. I will tell you, there's a couple of things he can't do. He can't lie. Here's another one. He can't stop loving you. Can't. He can't lie and he can't stop loving you. But other than that, all things are possible. So step number one is get over yourself. We're not even trying to get you to think you can do it. We're trying to get you to cooperate, learn, trained? Trained to flow, to cooperate with him who can do it. And him who can do it is God the Father by his Spirit. So now, 1 Corinthians 12. Just so we'll make sure that we get that nailed down, I'm going to read this again, but I want to put some emphasis on certain words. And let's back up this time to verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But now notice, but the manifestation of the Spirit, and this is capital S, and it should be capital S. When Paul went to Corinth, he said, I only had one message for you the first time I came. Remember? What was that message? Christ and him crucified. And that is the only message really to the world, to the lost. Christ and him crucified. There's no point trying to teach an unsaved person about tongues and about visions and about all of the other things. They don't have any spirit in them with the capacity to be taught those things. Those things are spiritually discerned. That's bread for the children, really. You must be born again to understand those things. So what do you do? But how did Paul do it? I ought to turn there, but you know it already. How did he do it? He says, I didn't come to you even with that message, with enticing words of man's wisdom. But I came in demonstration of the Spirit, that your faith might stand in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men. God. He showed them something. The message wasn't just Christ crucified and raised from the dead. Let me show you Christ is crucified and then raised from the dead. Let me show you he is alive and he is Lord of all. See, that is the word that is the word. The Lord working in our King James, it says the Lord confirming the word, the Lord working with them. I'd have to look it up. But them is not really in there. It's in italics. What he's confirming is the word. He is working with His Word. He watches over His Word to perform it, see? All right. Now watch this. It is the manifestation of... Now, okay, we're verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, these are how the Holy Spirit manifests Himself, manifests the power of God, manifests the risen Christ. This is how He does it. And it's given to every man to profit withal, for to one is given by the Spirit. Now get that. You don't own the word of wisdom. You don't own the word of wisdom. It's given to you by the Spirit. Don't try and work it up. All the time in prayer lines, people come, they want a word. We tell them all the time, I can't prophesy unless He does. If He says anything, I'm happy to share that with you. If He shows me anything, I'm happy to share that with you. But if He doesn't say anything, I can't say anything. I'll pray for you a nice Gary prayer, and that's all I can do. And those are okay. We've had healings from Gary prayers. What I mean is, you know, it's just be blessed, be healed, that type of thing. The word of wisdom, to the word of knowledge by the what? By the same Spirit, see? To another faith. Why does Paul every time put this in here again? By the same Spirit. He's wanting you to understand it's not you. These are gifts that are manifested by the Holy Spirit, each and every one of them. You don't have to work them up. You don't try and own them. What you got to do is learn to flow with Him as He gives them to you. And you can operate in a word of wisdom in one occasion. Like, I don't want to say service because you might be at Walmart. He'll give you a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And he'll tell you just exactly what to say. Tell you just exactly what to do. Then the very next time He uses you, He'll give you the gift of faith. But it's all by Him, see? So step number one, that gets He gets it off of you and onto Him. We just got to learn how to flow with Him. These are the manifestations of the Spirit. To another faith by the... Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Now, what I'm about to tell you, don't ask me how I know these things. I probably read them in a book. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's probably it. The Holy Ghost is instructing you, me, and a lot of... Much of the time... You know what happens? Nothing. And you know why? Because we ignore what He said. We just flat ignore it. And there are several reasons for that. Okay, He's taken over now, so I got to follow Him. A friend of mine recently was talking to me, and he says, a verse that bothered him for a lot of years was, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. And he says, I've been a Spirit-filled Christian since I was a little boy, but I got to tell you, there's been a lot of times that I followed a voice that I thought was the Lord, and it wasn't. I found out later it wasn't the Lord. And he said, there's other times when, he said, I just asked the Lord one time. I said, Lord, Your word plainly says that Your sheep hear Your voice and the voice of a stranger they won't follow. But I wound up following those other voices at times. Why is that? You ready? He said, well, the problem was, son, those voices were not a stranger to you. Ow. Too much world, too much diet of the world. The voice of the world is not such a stranger. You know why the sheep only follow their shepherd's voice? They know his voice. They don't listen to other shepherds. They're not following other shepherds. They're listening to his voice. His voice is the one they're accustomed to. They recognize it instantly. And we're to be that same way. But if we fill our lives with other voices, and those voices are very familiar to us, then it's easy to follow those voices. Well, that's one. Okay, so that's one reason. That's one why nothing happens and we don't wind up having any manifestation. Another one is lack of confidence. You're just not sure you heard him. Trust me, when he says, put your finger in that nice lady's mouth. See, you're not going to do that. You're not going. I don't know how many times he's told, not that particular command, but I don't know how many times he's told me things like that, that I didn't obey it. Why? But it takes a lot of trust. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to trust him. And I'll just flat tell you, it's hard to trust somebody you don't know. You may know about, but if you haven't risked obeying him before, then all of a sudden now, you want his power to flow. Yeah, I'll obey you now. Well, it's hard. It's hard to trust somebody that you just really don't know them, you know. That's why years ago he started giving me that instruction. And I haven't obeyed it nearly like I should, I'll just tell you that. But he says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He said, now we're getting into his presence. Okay. No, I don't mean in the atmosphere. I'm saying in the teaching tonight. Most of our days, now I'm probably not talking about everybody, probably not Dave, but most of us are spent with very little awareness that the Holy Spirit is right there. Now, if I was right there, just me, if I was right there with you, let's say it a different way, if Dave was right there with you, there might be certain TV programs that didn't get played. There might be certain words that didn't get spoken in anger. There might be, just if Dave was there, you know. But the Holy Spirit is there. And we go through our day as though he's not. Yes, sir. I want to demonstrate this again. You helped me the other day, if you don't mind. Driving to Alabama and back, I don't remember now whether going or coming, but I just saw this little mini teaching vision. It's how he deals with me. And I saw, like, Peter. It could have been any of the 12. Let's just always relate with Peter. You know, open foot, insert mouth. You know. But I love Peter because he'll ask the questions the rest of us are too holy to ask, you know. Hey, we left everything. What are we going to get out of it? You know, anyway. But what I saw in the vision, like, here's Jesus. And just, I guess, turn that way. Here's Jesus. And Jesus, this is during the four gospel times. I mean, Peter is standing right next to Jesus, you know. But what I saw, it's like he was just almost leaning on him. But Peter was turning to heaven and asking, oh, Father, send the Messiah. Father, please, I need to be in the presence of Messiah. And he's already in the presence of Messiah. Messiah has been sent to be in Peter's presence. And if Peter wants to fellowship with Messiah, all he has to do is be in the geographical location where Messiah is. Now, what if Peter had questions? Here's Jesus standing right there. Here's Peter. I have a question. This is deep. I think I need to go fast and pray. Is that what he needed to do? Not in that situation. What did he need to do? Ask him. He's right there. Would it be a good idea to talk to him? Yeah. Would it be okay to ask for counsel? You know? In other words, he was already in the presence of the Messiah. It would be ridiculous to pray, send the Messiah, or I want to be in his presence. You're already in his presence. Now, God told me during one of the face-to-face things, and I think I brought it with me. He said, I have sent the Holy Spirit to be in your presence since you have difficulty getting into mine. So here we are in churches all the time, and now this is Jesus, but now represented by the Holy Ghost. He's represented by the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Okay. Little flash there. Hang on a minute. What do we pray in our churches? What do we sing? Oh, send the rain. And I know what they mean by that, you know. Or we need to be in the presence. We need to be in your presence. And the truth of the matter is, he has sent the Holy Spirit to be in our presence no less than if Jesus was standing there himself in the flesh. Yes. I'm going to go ahead and act it out. If you don't mind, step, get that chair, that end chair, bring it right here. Now see, Peter, during that 4 years, he got to walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, ask him questions. By the way, I'm not against fasting and prayer. We'll get to that in a minute. No, leave it up here. Now you are high and exalted. You are in heaven now. This is the exalted Christ. And I need the Holy Ghost. Come here, Holy Ghost. Come on. Comes the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost has been sent to be in my presence. Jesus, physically, where is he? Has the Holy Ghost come to be my Lord? No, he really hasn't. He has not. That's why Jesus said about the Holy Ghost, he will not speak of himself. What he means by that, he does not speak on his own authority. What he hears, that's what he speaks. Who is the head of the church? Jesus. Who is Lord? Jesus. You never find where it says the Holy Spirit is Lord. It says Jesus is Lord. He's still the head of the church. He's still the one leading and guiding and doing all that. But now he does it by this agency of the Holy Spirit. So just, if you don't mind, just say, go left. Don't move. Just say, go left.
Go left.
And the Holy Spirit, I'm listening. I'm praying. And the Holy Spirit says,
go left.
Okay. Go left. Now I can't see him. Now how did I get that? I probably was praying in tongues. I may not have been praying in tongues right at that moment, but I have a lifestyle being accustomed to his voice. And suddenly go left. And it doesn't come necessarily to your noggin. See? He's communicating with the real you. The real you. God is a spirit. You are a spirit. Now your noggin gets it second hand, really. But the communication is spirit to spirit. Okay? And you got to train your noggin. Did you know your head still wants to be Lord of your life? Oh, trust me, my brain wants to be Lord at all costs. One of the reasons is it hates prayer and fasting. Every hour you give to those things, it is losing its dominion over you. And Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is gaining dominion over you. So here we go left for a while and we hear stop.
Oop. Stop.
Okay, and I don't know why, and I don't have to know why. And whatever it is, he'll get it across to me. Then you hear, go right. Here we go. Go right. Here we go. This is the image of Jesus didn't go to heaven so you could become your own Lord. He is as much our Lord today as he was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Come back down here for a minute. Now stay right here. We're back to the four Gospels when he's here. When did you ever, okay, he tells them every day stuff like, I don't know, here, feed the multitudes. Jesus is the one that gives the instructions every day. Okay, when did it ever happen that the disciples say, oh, I know you're about to tell me what to do today, but I have grown up now and I know what to do on my own. Thank you very much. This is what needs to happen over here. Oh, come on. That's the church today. That's not the church that Jesus... That's man making religion out of the gospel. Amen? No, Jesus is Lord. Jesus tells us what to do. Now, there are blanket commands that you don't need to fast and pray for. When he says, if you see the naked or the hungry. Okay, now, even that you got to qualify. Are they professional nakeders and hungriers? We have them standing on nearly every intersection in Tulsa. Those, professionals. How do I know that? They were here last year. Same guy, they were there the year before. This guy's got a career going here. He's a professional beggar. Well, I'm not interested in supporting his profession. Okay, get a job. You can stand there in the hot sun all day. Doesn't look too disabled to me. He's not sitting in a chair or nothing. I couldn't stand out there all day. Well, I could. Yes, I can in Jesus' name. But see, in the same way, they didn't go off on their own, making their own decisions. Every day you find out from him. Well, not go, be exalted, be exalted. That hasn't changed. He is still the Lord and head of the church. But now his leadership comes by this agency of the Holy Spirit. It is a masterstroke of genius from God. Because it's hard to illustrate the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is omnipresent. He is with me. There is nowhere I can go all day long. I can walk in a bar. I could walk into other worse places. He's stuck with me. You know why that dove thing? I've heard preachers say, well, the Holy Ghost is like a dove. I'm saying it that way, dove. You just say a little cuss word and he flitters away. Holy Ghost is the toughest dude I ever met in my life. I'm telling you, no, that's not why it shows him as a dove. It's because he's gentle. He's kind. He is all the fruit of the Spirit. He is. You got all that in your new nature, but he is love. He is God. He's God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He, like, gentle. He's not squeamish. He's not. He told me one time, he says, I have seen you at your best, Gary, and I have seen you at your worst. And Sue can tell you my worst can get pretty worst. She won't, but she could. He says, yet I still love you. He said, on your worst day, you've got friends that still loved you. Think you, I love you less than them. Whew. Holy Ghost is tough. But now the Holy Ghost is with each and every one of us. It's a master stroke of genius. That whatever the mind of Christ, which is the plan of the Father, whatever that is that day, with every believer around the world, each of us, the Holy Ghost is with us. Now what we do, now just follow right with me. Okay, I'm going shopping right now and I'm doing this and then I'm mowing my yard and then I'm going around. Then, I got to go over to the other side of town because Sue wanted me to pick up this and that. And so I pick up this and that and I go through all, there's a poor person. I'm going to give them some money. And we go through our whole day. And then, I was going to pray. Shandai my Hyundai. I tie my bow tie. Love you, God. Love you, God. Okay, what's on for this evening? And he's with us all day. Gentle, loving, kind. You talk about long suffering? Patient. Thank you, guys. Did they do a good job or what? Isn't that good? Now, if we're going to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, we have got to stop that. We have got to become aware that he is with us. And in the early days, he gave me instruction. Now, it'll seem like a game, and I never heard anybody else tell it till recently. And I heard another minister. It's almost like this person was reading my notes from all those years ago. But she didn't know me from Sikkim, and I don't know her from anything else either, But she's been in ministry over now 25 years, quarter of a century, and all around the planet. She was talking about the early days, getting to know the Holy Ghost. She said it was like a game to me. Because I just wasn't aware of his presence. And when I would pray, he kept telling me I had to become aware. So I just started talking with him. Like, the Holy Ghost, I'm going to go do the laundry now. You want to go with me? Come on. Okay, and he said, in the beginning, it was a total monologue. Now, this is in addition to praying in tongues, okay? I'm not teaching any substitute for praying in tongues. I'm talking about in addition to that, becoming aware that he is with you all the time. I'm going to go do the laundry. Well, I use Tide. Do you think Tide is good? I mean, just talking with the Holy Ghost like he was there, like he was really with you. And she said, for the longest time, it was just a monologue. Okay, I'm going to the grocery store. I'm going to get this and that. I'd get you something if you ate, but you don't eat. So I don't remember exactly what all she said, but she was. And that's almost exactly the same instructions he gave me all those years ago. Talk to me all through the day. Treat me like I am there. Now, she did it a lot better than I did it. I mean, your soul will do that part that still wants to be Lord, it will try and talk you out of doing that. It's going to make you feel like the biggest fool. Now you're talking to the air, are you? There's no movie years ago called Harvey. Most of you are too young to remember Harvey. Jimmy Stewart, if I remember right, Jimmy Stewart. And there was an invisible rabbit, right, named Harvey. And here's Jimmy Stewart walking around talking to this invisible rabbit. That same picture would come back to me. Now I'm walking around talking to Harvey the rabbit, or Harvey the Holy Ghost, you know. Well, she did it, though. And she says, for the longest time, it was a monologue. She just felt like she was just talking to the air, you know. Well, Holy Spirit, now I'm going to go do this. And now, Holy Spirit, let's go do this together. And Holy Spirit, this. And she was always, she got to where, though, she was got into this practice. She called it practicing his presence, you know. But she said, then an amazing thing happened one day. She said, you know, Holy Spirit, and she actually calls him the Holy One. I like that. Holy One, you know, I'm always talking to you about what's on my mind. Holy One, can I just ask you, what's important to you today? And she said, that day the dialogue began. The dialogue. She began hearing back from him. Then she would ask questions and he would speak. And she would ask questions and he would speak. And a ministry was born. It stretched around the world. Practicing his presence. He is with us all the time. But we just are not conscious of it. So let me read just a little bit. This is at the website. It's called Communion with the Holy Spirit. It's in the face-to-face section. And I'm going to read a portion of it here, not all of it. It says, many have not understood the difference between getting into the presence of the Father and the presence of the Son. Now, let's just stop, because I don't know how far I'll get. He talks about this later on. See, real worship, where you're trying to, we all know there's a presence that can be felt. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit is with you, whether you feel any anointing or not. Some of the strongest miracles that Sue and I have ever seen when we prayed, I mean, there was no feeling of anointing at all. Nothing, okay? He's with you. But there is such a thing as worship and times of seeking Him, fasting. And what's happening there, you're really getting into the presence of God the Father and God the Son. And that's a little different. That's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about, see, in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus was in the presence of men. You didn't have to fast and pray to be in his presence. Well, what he's trying to get across to us, the Holy Spirit, in the same way, has been sent to be in the presence of man. He's already here. He's not only with you, he is in you. I like to do it like this here lately. He's this close. he's closer than I can do it, but he's like, for benefit of those that can't see what I'm doing, I've got my right hand right up by my face, like his face is just like nearly touching my cheek. He's right here, and he's here all the time. And I got another thing for you. He's not withholding the voice of the Lord from you either. No, he's not. Okay. Many have not understood the difference between getting into the presence of the Father and the presence of the Son and being in the presence of the Holy Spirit by direct communion. Because they have not discerned the difference in the operations, they equate them as being the same thing, and they are not. When Christ came down from heaven to walk as a man among men, to be in his presence, the only thing needed was to be in his geographical location. And if you were walking with him, there was no spiritual activity, no great spiritual labor involved to turn to him and ask him the questions of your heart. You would simply have turned and asked, and he would have responded to you as you see recorded in the Gospels. As my Son came down, so now has my Spirit come down to be among men. The difference is, he is not limited by geographical location. He is with every son, and he is with every daughter of mine, all the time. I want your mind to be such that you understand you walk with him every day, just as if you had been walking every day with Jesus while he was physically on the earth. Now, let me stop. I've had a few years since this was taught to me. Now, here's something I didn't really understand when this first came, and it was several years. We're going to be talking about this more in the coming weeks. He is walking with you. Yeah, come here. Now, God the Holy, what is he? God the Holy, and God is a? And you are a? See, here's one of the problems. He has been sent to lead your spirit, not your head. We keep asking him head questions. Be honest with you, two, three sessions later, we're going to do this one. He told me one time, he says, I don't answer every question of the soul so that it can continue its lordship over your spirit. Isn't that good? That's part of the problem. You know, Dave, thank God for Dave's humor. We're going along, you know, I'm the guy just starting on this path. Well, I need to talk to you about my new car, Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm sure Jesus on the throne, he knows that my biggest need in life right now is a new car, and I need a new car. I'm telling you, talk to me about my new car. I want to hear about the new car. And the Holy Ghost, he's not interested in that at all. That's just earthhead talking. That's the natural man, you know. That's why when we start praying in other tongues, the Holy Ghost goes, oh, finally. Now, he starts communicating with the real me, which is the spirit on the inside of me. And he starts saying, now I'm exaggerating a little, going with Dave's example. So the Holy Ghost starts sharing with my spirit. You know, this guy, this earthhead guy here, he thinks he needs a new car. What he really needs right now is to quit yelling at his wife. But I haven't been yelling at her. This is Dave's example. But see that communication? That's the real communication going on. He says, well, by the way, I don't want to. God's not really wanting to talk to you about a car. We've got so-and-so over here that's dying. They got 5 minutes. If I can get you to obey, we'll get over there. And by the gifts of the Spirit, we'll prevent that person from dying. But see, if we are still so naturally minded and naturally controlled, new car, new car, new car, new car. It's all I can hear. If you don't talk to me about a car, I'm not hearing you. I'm only listening about a car. That's all I want to hear. Nothing else comes car. That's all. Am I doing it? You getting it? And we say, why won't he talk to me? Earthhead. Still so carnally minded that you can't hear it. You haven't grown up enough to even hear it yet. He's probably talking to you about giving away your car. I didn't say. Not probably. I mean, that's a possibility. I'm telling you, it takes a while to start penetrating earthhead. When Sue and I, we were 33 years old when we got saved. We had 33 years of earthhead training. And here we're trying to follow the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. You know, only been saved just a short amount of time. I was raised by a O.R. Carpenter, which is a good man, but I was a very macho man. I am the head of this house, you know. Sue was a card-carrying member of the feminist movement. No man is ever going to tell me what to do. And you think we're instantly both hearing the Holy Ghost, you know? You think? No. It took a little time, okay, for the Spirit to start penetrating all that. Okay. Thank you again. Thank you again. And they were going, where's the signs and wonders? You know, earthhead walking along. Well, I talked to the Holy Ghost for 2 hours yesterday and hadn't raised nobody from the dead yet. Yeah, you talk to him about your car. You talk to him about everything you're worried about. Everything, every care that you haven't cast on the Lord. You talk to him about everything that normal people do. You haven't talked to him as God's son hardly at all. And probably the only pure part was when you was praying in other tongues. Am I at the right church? Am I preaching okay? Is this okay? It really is fun. But we're coming to that place now. We're coming out. He hasn't had us here all these years for us not to walk in the revival now. Amen. Some of us have come absolutely to the end. I mean, it looks like, you know, when God asked Abraham to put that knife through Isaac, it looked like the end of the vision, did it not? Thank God that Abraham saw past that, said, my God cannot lie. I have promises. God has told me that through that boy, my seed shall come. God's going to have to raise him from the dead. Thank God. But I'm telling you, sometimes when you obey God, it looks like the end. And even if you didn't fully obey God, maybe you messed it up. Gary, how do you know about that? Don't ask me. He'll make lemonade out of your lemons. You keep following him, you'll look back and you'll be able to give testimony how he took your best and your worst efforts. And he'll make lemonade. He'll feed the world that lemonade too. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Sometimes you got to come say, no, I've failed too many times. I've done this, I've done that. You're probably in one of the best positions of anybody on the planet. Because you're, this is how Sue and I, we're pretty easy to get us saved. You know why? We had come to the conclusion our way was not working. Our way was not working. That's a great day when you find that out. Your way is not working. Well, the church's way at large has not been working. Let's do it his way. Start really getting hooked up with the Holy Ghost. We may actually have to do what Pastor Dave's been teaching. Prayer, fasting, meditation of the word, and obey. It's baby steps, people. He doesn't normally, your first assignment is normally not go raise that person from the dead. First assignment usually is forgive so and so. Forgive so and so. All right. I'm going to read that last sentence again. I want your mind to be such that you understand you walk with him every day, just as if you had been walking every day with Jesus while he was physically on the earth. He said, I have sent my Holy Spirit to be in the presence of man. He is available to you at all times. You are to turn to him with your questions, as if you were turning to Jesus, walking side by side with him in the flesh. I did that. I tried that. But I didn't realize, because the silence was deafening, to be honest with you. It took a long time for me to realize the reason. It wasn't the real me asking him questions. It was Earthhead. It was the carnal guy asking. When you really ask him a good son of God question, boy, you'll get that answer quick. He said, my Holy Spirit is with you, says the Lord, and for this purpose he has been sent. It requires no great spiritual labor to enter into his presence, for I have sent him to be in your presence. says the Lord. Again, I say, as the Son came down to be in the presence of men, so now my Spirit has come down to be in the presence of men. He is in the presence of every man all the time, 24 hours a day, in every geographical location. Now, walk and talk with my Spirit as though he were with you, for he truly is, says the Lord. Now, here at this church, you can get a jump start. I am actually recommending that we all start doing the Harvey the Rabbit thing. Talking to the Holy Spirit all the time, all through the day. I'm at the age now, I don't care if people think I'm senile or not. I don't care at all. I just want the cripples out of the wheelchairs now. I want the lost saved and the blind to see, you know. But start talking with him as though he is real. But you can jump start ahead because you already know the right question, which is not, Lord, let's talk about my day. I want to talk about my stuff. I want to talk about this and that. How about what's on my Lord's heart today? Does my Lord have anything to say to me today? What's on your heart? I like that, Holy One. Holy One. Because he's going to bring you the mind of Christ. That's good. Walk and talk with my Spirit as though he were with you, for he truly is, says the Lord. He says, communing with my Spirit should be the most natural of all things to my Spirit-born children. Understand the practical reasons for which he has come. He is walking with you, going with you. He is with you all the time. It is just as if the Lord Jesus Christ himself were walking with you and going with you in the flesh. See, the ministry of Jesus was never supposed to come to an end at the resurrection. It was supposed to be multiplied. His life, he is the seed that was planted, but we are the seeds from that planting. Well, the same way he was led by the Holy Ghost, we're supposed to be led by the Holy Ghost. He laid down his divinity, everything we see in there. He was led by the Spirit. He's the example, the prototype for us. Well, I don't see the 12 going off to do stuff on their own when he's right there. They got their instructions from him. Well, that's not supposed to end at the resurrection. That's why else send the Holy Spirit? He sent the Holy Spirit so that lordship could continue. I'm going to jump on down to this. Here is the problem. The problem is, my people have not learned how to commune with him in spirit. Did you hear that? We keep trying to communicate mind to spirit. I did that for so long. I still have to be careful with that, okay? But the communication is really spirit to spirit. He has come to lead God's child that lives within this human vessel. God's child is not my mind. God's child is my spirit. Now, hopefully my mind is becoming renewed more and more and more. But I've got to remember servants upon horses. The horse represents the ministry, or it represents your life and the direction you're supposed to go. But the person that's supposed to be in the saddle holding the reins is not my mind. The ruler is my spirit. As my spirit gets direction from God, then my spirit lays the reins on the horse, which way we're going to go. And the mind, the soul, the emotions, they're supposed to be running alongside like a servant. Yes, master. Anything I can do for you, master. You need me to do some calculations. I'm good at 2 + 2. It's supposed to be like a laptop. A laptop is a good servant to your soul. But your laptop is not supposed to be Lord of your life. I know some people's phones are. Anyway. Nobody said nothing, hardly. One lady in the back, one honest lady in the back. I have to be careful. My phone tries to be my Lord all the time. Anyway. But this is the problem. My people have not learned how to commune with him in spirit. In spirit, see? They have not located the ear of their own spirit to hear him responding to their questions. Did you hear what he said? That the answers don't come to your mind. They come through the ear of your spirit. Dave's two-part message, Distinguishing God's Voice, the one that changed my life, where I practice and start praying in those tongues and then clamp your mouth shut and listen till you could hear those tongues rolling. That place, when you start hearing that, that is the ear of your spirit. That's where you hear him. Okay? Now he said there, they have not located the ear of their own spirit to hear him responding to their questions. This is changing, for the message has come to maturity, says the Lord. Most of you here have located that ear. And it's not always a voice. It's not always a voice. You want to practice? Try and steal something. Yeah, just stop anywhere. Try and steal something. Now, you may not hear a voice, but if you're born again, and you're just reaching for the, I'm going to steal that, whatever it is. Boy, there is a communication immediately on the inside, isn't there? It may not be thou shalt not steal, but it's communicating. It's communicating really strong, okay? All right? That same place, that's the conscience. That leadership comes from the new nature. But Dave says over and over again on his messages that's the same place in you. Where the Holy Ghost speaks, where the visions come through, where that communication, the visions and dreams, it's that same place in you where all that happens. My spirit-born children shall commune freely with him whom I have sent to lead them, says the Lord. Let's just make a confession out of that right now. Said, I am a spirit-born child of God.
I am a spirit-born child of God.
I commune freely with him whom the Lord has sent to lead me.
It comes natural
to me as a child of God. It's the voice I most easily recognize. It's a voice from home. I like that, see. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? It's a voice from home. It really is. Then he said to me, the way he said it this way, the Holy Spirit is nearer to you than your next breath. He is with you. He will hearken to your voice. Now get this. He will commune with you as a friend for the longest time here at the prayer center. I did not know the Holy Spirit as friend. I was too religious, I guess. As Dave would teach, what I saw at first was teacher. So I saw him as my teacher. But I really did not relate very much with the Holy Ghost as my friend, to be honest with you. Let me tell you, that has changed. Holy Ghost is your friend. He loves you. Warts and all. He loves you. He cannot stop loving you. Reminds me of a song. You want to hear it? I can't stop. No, okay. I heard it once to go into a Radio Shack something or other. Yeah, right. He will commune with you as a friend, as a teacher, as a counselor, and as a helper, he will help you. He has also been sent, and he is the one who brings you into the presence of the Son and into the presence of your Father who are in heaven. This does require the stripping away of the flesh. He's talking about fasting. This does require quietness of soul. This does require often fasting of the flesh. And through the avenues of worship, it is my spirit that brings your spirit beyond the veil of the flesh into the literal presence of the Son and of the Father. This does often require labor in the spiritual realm to acquire. But communion with my spirit is not so. It's not required of you to labor to enter into his presence, for I have sent him to be in yours. How practical is that? Our God is so smart. Anyone? Give me just a moment. There's another thing I brought. For years, I didn't have any notes at all. Now I look at all this. It's things that as he brings them up. Hang on. Bear with me. There it is. That very first day at the ugly building when I was practicing, instead of me teaching it, just listen for, again, Distinguishing God's Voice. It's a 2-message series by Dave Roberson at his website. I was just practicing. I did it for months. And I would pray in other tongues. I'd clamp my mouth shut after a while, and I could still hear the tongues for a little while. I could still hear them. And he says, that's the ear of your spirit. Get familiar with that place. That's the ear of your spirit. One day you'll hear him speak through your known language there. Well, boy, it didn't come quick. One thing about, I thank God for O.R. Carpenter, because he trained me to have no quitting sense at all. I have no quitting sense. And once I start, Sue knows, once I start on it, bless God, that's it. Sink or swim, live or die, that's it. I'm not a taper off kind of guy. It's all or nothing, sink or swim, do or die. Okay. That's just the way I'm wired. But boy, this is the first day that I heard him. Man, I've done it hundreds of times. Clamp my mouth shut, hearing the tongues. Hundreds of times I had done that. Hearing the tongues. Did it again. Clamp my mouth shut. This time I heard, wasn't tongues. Hear the word of the Lord to you, my son. What? Where's that recorder I brought months ago? Where is that thing? Had to find that recorder. Click. And it was like prophecy. If you've ever prophesied, you don't get to think about it first and then say it. Prophecy, when it's real prophecy, you hear it when everybody else hears it. Scares you to half to death in the beginning. You don't get to judge it first. Nope. But that's the way this is. And I'm just recording. He says, hear the word of the Lord to you, my son. I have longed for this day to communicate with you. I have not left you in the dark, but I have come as a bright light to guide your path. Know and understand that the Lord your God loves you and has longed to lead you by the hand, to take you as his child, and to lead you into vast, enormous places where you know not of, to guide you safely through all sorts of dark and forbidding ways, but the path in front of you always being so lit that there is no need to fear and there is no lack of safety. And he said to me that first day, I am your friend. Then he says, I am your counselor. But isn't that funny? It's not funny. I find it funny that the first thing he said to me, I am your friend. That's something. Thinking of Proverbs, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He says, I am your friend, I am your counselor. I will not lead you in paths away from the Lord. For this purpose I have been sent, to guide you. Not only into the truth of the knowledge of his word, but into the truth of the knowledge of his will for your life. Man, that's the plan of God. That's the walk of the Spirit. That's where you start praying the same thing Jesus prayed, not my will. Not my will, but thine be done. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, really smart guy. Would y'all say he had a pretty good IQ? Really smart guy. He was out killing Christians first because he thought they were heretics, But boy, when Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he said the two smartest things that you could say. First thing he said was, now here's this bright light, knocks him completely on the ground. He's coming to himself and he goes, "Who are you, Lord?" Pretty smart. "I don't know who you are, but whoever you are Lord." And then the second thing that he said shows me the brilliance, because this is it. "Lord, what would you have me do?" In other words, okay, that's the end of Saul. That's the end of my life. What would you have me do? Well, the Holy Ghost has been sent for that exact purpose, to answer that question for every child of God. This is what the Lord would have you do. And it's day by day, hour by hour. This is the leadership of the Spirit. Gary, do you ever do anything that you don't hear him? Oh, all the time, and we all do. But that's second best. I believe to my socks that Jesus was in constant communion with the Father all the time. But I also see where Jesus would go out and pray all night. I saw coffee pots as we come in. Are there going to be prayer after the service tonight? Is that why it's out there? Well, praise God. Jesus would go off and spend his time when he wasn't ministering. He would go spend time with the Father. I wonder where he got all his instructions. Wonder how he knew what was coming. Spend all that time with God the Father, and the Holy Ghost would show him. He'll show us too. Now, this part here, this is for tonight. He said to me, "You will come to trust me completely." When he said that, I'll just be honest with you, I thought he meant the next day. I did. I thought, okay, sounds good. Fast forward a few months, and he had to say this to me. I don't have it with me. He said, I was asking him all this stuff, probably most of it earthhead. And he said to me, he says, "I look on your heart every day to see at what level of obedience you are, how much you'll obey me." He says, "I don't bring instruction when I see a heart that will not obey me, because that puts you in constant disobedience and would open up the avenues of destruction from the enemy. I look at your heart. When I tell you something, it's because you have the capacity to do it. But I don't give you instruction beyond that capacity." Isn't that good? Otherwise, you'd be in constant rebellion all the time. See, in John 14, when we hardly ever connect this up. Go ahead, and this is important. Go ahead and look at John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 14. See, this is all connected right close with our verse that this is the mission of the prayer center, verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Is that not our goal? That's revival right there. But now notice, when right before he starts introducing the Holy Spirit, look at verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." And he starts introducing. I could go on and on. Isn't it funny? He starts it off with, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And at first I thought religiously he was talking about all of the commandments given in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he is talking about that. I'm sure he is. But why connect that up with the Holy Ghost? You can read that. You can read all that. You know what he's really talking about there? "If you love me, you'll do what I say. And I'm going to send the Holy Ghost so you'll know what I'm saying to you. And if you love me, you'll do what I'm saying to you. And if you don't love me enough to do it, keep praying and one day you will." Why? That's why that's connected up. If you love me, keep my commandments. I think about some of the commandments we've had. Stick your finger in her mouth. Give your pickup to your worst enemy. Forgive that person that did you such wrong. Do this, do that over these years, you know. Give that lady a signed check with no amount in it. Let her fill in the amount. Yeah, you're going to find out. You'll be begging to go back under the law of the tithe. I'm telling you right now, you'll be begging. Oh, God, can I go back under the tithe? Please, God, put me back under the law. 10% is nothing, God. I'll go back to 10% in a heartbeat. Now, he'll back to zero again. How many times, baby, we've been back to zero again? It doesn't matter if it's $10, $5,000, $50,000. It doesn't matter. Because as long as he's your provider. But if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, Lord, I'd love to. Are you talking about thou shalt not steal? What commandments? No, I'm talking about just like I had commandments for my... I had assignments. Can we use the word assignments? I had instructions for my disciples every day. If you love me, do what I tell you. Oh, and here's how you're going to know what I'm telling you. I'm going to send you another comforter. He's the Holy Ghost. And he's going to lead you and guide you. See, right, he comes right down. It's in that same passage. Look at verse 18. We're coming here. Let's just read 16, 17, and 18 together so you'll see it. It's all 15, 16, 17, and 18. If you love me, keep my commandments. Or you could say, do what I say. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, which means orphan. I will come to you. How is he going to come and be my Lord? Through this helper, the comforter, the one that's not leaving you as an orphan to try and find your own way. He has sent the Holy Spirit to lead you in the way. That's how you get his instructions. That's how you get his commandments. And if you love him, you'll keep them. You'll do what he says. I don't care if it is back to zero again. Hallelujah. So what would I do based on this message? Gary, you're going to have a line, right? You're going to have a Harvey impartation. There is no Harvey impartation. You're either going to take it upon yourself to start talking, and I mean in English, in your known language, with the Holy Ghost. Be willing. Listen, if you're not willing to be foolish at that level, I'm not sure you're ever going to stick your finger in the lady's mouth. I'm not sure you're ever going to spit on somebody's eyes. I'm not sure you're ever going to do a lot of things he's going to ask you to do. So start talking to him. What have you got to lose? Your reputation, honey? They already think you're crazy. You go to the prayer center. What's wrong with you? You lost that already. Come on. You lost that already. Got everything to gain. Let's start talking with him all through the day like he's really there. Because he is. Father, I feel a release. I feel like I did my best to obey you, Lord. Father, help me too. He knows I've struggled with this. I'll do okay with it for a while, then I get out of the habit for a while. I want to get in it and stay in it. I want to be in that wave of the gifts of revival, the gifts of the Spirit revival that Smith prophesied. I want to be smack dab in the middle of that thing. And it's the gifts of the Spirit. There's no possible way that can happen without me learning how to function and flow with him. So this is a good instruction. This is a good start. Becoming aware that he is constantly with us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.